I'm going to be talking about a pilot intervention study we did to change the home environment to make it more supportive of healthy eating in rural families, and I have no financial disclosures or relationships. The work we do with the Emory Prevention Research Center is community-based participatory research, so I'll talk about that a little bit. Our primary community partner is the Southwest Georgia Cancer Coalition, and we have a subcontract with them, and they do a lot of our local work in Southwest Georgia, which is 3 hours away from Atlanta, where we're based, and we work through a community advisory board, and you can see the sorts of organizations that are on our community advisory board: Health Education Center, local universities, local public health, hospitals and primary care clinics, community health centers, local churches, government grocery store owners, etc. This is Southwest Georgia, and the project I'm going to talk to you about was done in three counties: Randolph County, which is here, Cook County, which is here, and Mitchell County, which is here. The objective of our pilot intervention, the long-term objective, is to prevent weight gain. Adults gain 1 to 2 pounds a year as they get older, which for a couple of years isn't that big a deal, but 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years later, it starts to take a toll. And so this is our approach to obesity prevention, realizing it's just one little vehicle to contribute to preventing obesity, but we think it's an important one. But because this was a pilot, we couldn't really evaluate prevention of weight gain because that would happen over time. So we were interested in the immediate short-term effects, which were really, can families change their home environment to prevent or to promote healthy eating and physical activity? And then if they can change their home environment, can that improve health behavior? And I'm just going to focus on our nutrition findings today. So these were our research questions. Will rural families participate in a coach-based intervention that focuses on the home environment? It could be considered kind of intrusive because it's allowing people into your home and talking to them about how you're structuring your home environment and whether it's healthy or not. And then, does coaching lead to changes in the home environment? And do changes in the home environment lead to behavior change? So the whole idea of the intervention came from our community partners, the idea of coaching, and we went along with it. We thought it sounded kind of interesting. And so the idea is that local coaches, we hired local residents and trained them as coaches, and they would in turn counsel or coach family change agents or gatekeepers to the family on how to make the homes more supportive of healthy eating. It's a theory-based intervention. We use goal-setting theory and behavioral contracting from social cognitive theory. And it was a pretty quick intervention. It was just 6 weeks. Consisted of 2 home visits and 2 telephone calls. And I'll show you examples of the intervention strategies in a minute, but briefly, we had a tailored home environment profile. So based on the baseline data, we fed that back to them in a user-friendly way where they could see sort of what was good about their home environment and what could be improved about their home environment. Then we had a healthy action checklist, and this was 10 easy things you can do to make your home healthier. And there was a menu of these healthy actions that they would pick from, and then we had a family contract. So this is what the study looked like. We collected baseline data, and we at Emory were responsible for data collection. We did that via telephone. And then the local coach in Southwest Georgia scheduled a home visit, had a home visit at, I guess I have a pointer, so home visit at this point, then 2 weeks later a phone call, 2 weeks later another home visit, 2 weeks later another phone call, and then it was the 2 month point. We did data collection at that point, and then 2 months later at 4 months. So here's the healthy actions for nutrition or healthy eating. And you can see the category. So it was what they have in their home, so kind of the household food inventory, making improvements there, trying to have mostly healthy foods in the home. Grocery shopping, buying mostly healthy foods when you grocery shop. Restaurant food, cutting down on the amount of unhealthy foods your family eats from restaurants. Food preparation, cutting down on fried foods, cutting down on use of fat and oil. And family meals, stop watching TV while you eat. And so we had specific strategies within each of these to make them a little more concrete. So for example, to make sure you mostly have healthy foods, in the home, they would identify one bad food that they routinely have and vow never to purchase it again or bring it in the home. Or they could substitute a healthier option and always choose the healthier option. So it was really just simple little things they could do, but that we thought would make a change in their behavior ultimately. So this is a home environment profile, and as I mentioned before, it just summarized their baseline data and had green dots and green checks for the good things and red dots and red checks for the bad things. And then this helped the coach hone in on the areas that they could work on to improve their home environment. And then we had a family contract. We tried to have two people in each family participate. We wanted folks that lived in at least two people households so that they could benefit from social interaction around healthy eating as well. And so here's where they would write down their healthy eating actions and their healthy physical activity actions and the strategies by which they would meet those. As I mentioned, it was a pilot study, so it was a convenient sample. We had 122 families participate, and it was quasi-experimental. We basically just wanted to see if this would work. So everybody that we recruited from two counties were intervention families, and everybody from the third county, Mitchell, was comparison family. I already talked about our baseline data collection schedule, and then we had on the survey items that corresponded to the healthy actions. So running through those quickly, we had a household food inventory. So this was a list of fruits and vegetables, healthy and unhealthy snacks and drinks in the home during the last week. We had questions on grocery shopping and frequency of buying healthy foods like fresh fruits and vegetables. Restaurant food, how often you got takeout, delivery, or went out to a restaurant for family meals. How often you eat with the TV on, and family support for healthy eating. We also measured a few nutrition behaviors, fruit and vegetable intake with the BRFAS, percent calories from fat with the NCI fat screener, and then self-reported weight and height. Our statistical methods, we used a multi-level growth model to examine differences in linear trends. And so in our intervention families, of course, we wanted to see it go up. And in the comparison families, we wanted to see a flat line and have that be a statistically significant difference. And I'm going to report data on just 90 families. And these were the ones that participated at all three data collection points. So 54 intervention and 36 comparison. This is our demographics, and we sampled, or we recruited just from community settings. Our local staff in Southwest Georgia hung out at restaurants and Walmart and libraries and work sites and wherever they could to get people to participate. We were trying to get half African American and half white. We did succeed on that for the most part. We got mainly women to participate, so this was interesting because then they had to go home and try to convince their husband or significant other to participate, and that went so-so. So we sort of semi-abandoned the idea that we had to have two people per family, and so we had a combination of two people participating in data collection versus just one. Our CAB has always wanted to focus on middle-aged people, so we got folks between 39 and 69, with the bulk of them in their 50s. Income distribution wasn't too bad. It was probably a little higher than the general population, though, which was interesting. Employment, 60 to 80% were employed, and most people were married or living with someone. Okay, here are the healthy eating actions, and this is the percentage of households that picked the various actions. And so the most popular was make sure you have mostly healthy foods in the home. So this was things like making a rule that you wouldn't have sweet tea, or make a rule that you wouldn't have ice cream or potato chips in the home anymore. 68% selected that. Then the next most popular was food preparation, and that was cutting back on fried foods and things like that. Least popular was restaurants. We learned later, I thought we could have learned this earlier from our community advisory board, but there just weren't many restaurants in those counties, and so not many families chose to cut back on going out to eat because they were averaging going out to eat or getting takeout just once a week anyway. Okay, so here's our findings. And we controlled for demographic differences as well as baseline levels of these various behaviors or various environmental measures. And so if there's a star in the title, that means there is a statistically significant difference. So this is fruits and vegetables in the home. And here we had in the intervention group, that's blue, went from 14 up to 16.2. And the comparison group stayed relatively stable, and so that was a statistically significant difference with more fruits and vegetables in the home post-intervention. We also saw a significant decrease in unhealthy snacks in the home in the intervention group relative to comparison. And we saw a statistically significant increase in healthy food preparation in the intervention group relative to comparison. I don't have fancy slides for these, but there were three more home environment measures where we saw significant differences. This was in the frequency of purchasing fruits and vegetables, having rules or cutting back on watching TV while you eat, and family social support for healthy eating also increased in intervention relative to comparison. And the only place we did not see a change was in restaurant meals. So all trends were positive, and that was even in the positive direction. So these were our behavioral outcomes. And let me say, because it was a pilot study, we didn't power or have a large enough sample size necessarily to detect change. We mainly wanted to see if this might work. And so we were pretty excited to see any statistically significant changes at all. The only significant change, though, that we saw in behavior was percent calories from fat, which is the middle line. And we saw about a 3% drop in the intervention families and closer to a 1% drop in the control families. We also saw the right trend in fruit and vegetable intake, with intervention families showing a 0.6 servings per day increase and comparison families not. And then we saw, not significant, but trending in the right direction, and we didn't anticipate this at all, we saw weight loss in the intervention families of 3 pounds compared to 1 pound in the control. So, just a quick recap, we saw lots of significant differences in the home food environment. We saw a significant difference for percent calories and fat, and no differences but positive trends for fruit and vegetable intake and weight loss. I've touched on some of these. Convenient sample, self-selected, no randomization, small sample size, and a relatively short intervention period were some of the limitations for the study. But bottom line, we felt pretty excited about our pilot study results, and so we're taking this to scale beginning in January for a large intervention study, and we'll be more explicit about trying to prevent weight gain in that intervention, and a more explicit focus on energy balance, so trying to see fewer calories consumed and more calories expended. We'll have a much larger sample size, closer to 500. We have the federally qualified community health centers well represented on our advisory board, and they came up with the idea of recruiting through this community health centers. So that helps us a lot, because then we don't have to hang out at library and work sites and Walmart, but can have physicians refer us. I'm not sure the full set of implications from that change, but we're going to go ahead and try it. The physicians down there are truly desperate for something that will work, and I keep trying to tell them we're not sure this is going to work, but to do something with their overweight and obese patients. And so we're going to go for women, since they seem to be the folks that control the home food environment. Still need to live with one other person. This is a change. We're going to just include people that are overweight or obese. In our pilot study, we included everybody and no contraindications for physical activity. So let me just close with some acknowledgments. Actually, I didn't list the people that were co-authors with me, but they're important, and some extra folks are the rest of our team, our partners in Southwest Georgia, our Community Advisory Board, and our funder, CDC. Thank you.